Our Lord Jesus Christ promised that he would give to his people new life, eternal life and everlasting life. And this is the ministry that the Apostle Paul was speaking about here in this letter to the Corinthians. A reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about the ministry which he and the other apostles were carrying out into the world. And he's saying it's not a difficult message. It's been clearly revealed. And at the end of chapter 3, it's talking about the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ is more clearly seen now than ever it had been in the past. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord. The glorious things of the Lord Jesus Christ having been so clearly set forth. So that men are without excuse, that if they don't believe these things, it's because it's been hidden from them. Either because Satan has blinded their eyes or because we interpret it that the Lord hasn't revealed it and granted it to men. Understand it as you like. But the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, or the gospel of the glory of Christ, which can equally be a reading there, should illuminate their minds and their understanding. Paul goes on in verse 5 to say, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And we ourselves are your servants, or are your ministers for Christ's sake. He then goes on to say in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the frailty of the ministers. And we don't need to limit it to the ministers. We recognize it also as extending to all the Lord's people. This treasure that we possess, this treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ, this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's in earthen vessels. And he's speaking about our bodies. He's speaking about our physical bodies. And he's speaking about those natural aspects of our humanity, our human frame, our emotions, and our psychology, our minds, our mental stability. These things which are part and parcel of our humanity. And he's saying, we have this treasure. It's a supernatural revelation. It's a glorious, eternal, heavenly truth. It is the majesty of the revelation of the God-man come to earth, laying down his life for his people, risen again from the dead and ascended into glory where he sits now at the Father's right hand. Wonderful truths, amazing revelations. But its glory is contained in a physical frame that's no more than dirt, that's no more than just our physical bodies, earthen vessels. You know, it's often the case that if somebody is trying to sell something, they'll package it up in the nicest packaging that they can possibly get in order to make what looks like $10 worth $100. But that's not what it's like when it comes to the gospel. When it comes to the gospel, the value is in what's in the packaging, not the packaging itself. And we are earthen vessels when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. We are frail, we are fickle, we are feeble in so many ways, both in the declaration of the gospel and in the hearing of the gospel. That in so many ways is why the world looks on and says, well, what's all that about? Because they can't see beyond the earthen vessels. They can't see the Lord of glory that these earthen vessels contain. Paul says in verse 8, how many of us can testify to these words that the apostle speaks? He's not just speaking about the ministers of the gospel, although perhaps that's what particularly he has in mind at this moment. We are troubled on every side. Well, that's us, is it not? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Oh, the Lord doesn't forsake his people, even in the midst of their troubles. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And so we carry these great truths of the loveliness, the glory, the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ around in these feeble bodies. And as this chapter unfolds, what drew my attention was that as he goes down and he's speaking about the fact that these apostles are spending themselves for the well-being of the church, they're prepared to endure and undergo and engage in and enter into these troubles for the sake and the well-being of the church of Jesus Christ, that the church might be blessed even at the expense of their lives. He goes on in verse 16 to say, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is what I want to think about with you this evening for a little while. The Lord Jesus Christ told his followers that they would enjoy life in him. And you'll remember that he spoke to Nicodemus and he said, whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that the new life that we have, that which we contain in these earthen vessels, that which the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, that new life, that everlasting life, eternal life, comes from the Lord himself. It is he who says in the book of Revelation, behold, I make all things new. The beholds of the Lord are lovely to consider. We love it when he says, behold, because he's telling us to watch and wonder at the things that he has done. Behold, I make all things new. So if something is made new, then it's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That all things in there means that nobody else makes anything else that's new. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that makes new things. And he makes a new creation. And he gives that new creation his name. And he calls them his people. And he establishes them as his church. And they are his flock. And he has made all things new. And the new life that we have is new life in Christ. And how did the Lord Jesus Christ achieve and accomplish this new life? How does he apply that new life to his people? By his death. He has wrought life out of his own death. And he has died that we might have life. And then he rose again as that first fruits of a new creation. He rose again. And he shares with us that resurrection life that he took to himself again, he bestows upon his people. And we who were dead in sins are made to enjoy the sweet participation in the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes all things new. Lovely little picture is granted to us, I think, in the book of Judges, where Samson is going around disturbing the Philistines. It's always a good thing to disturb the Philistines, and Samson can be a hero for that alone. But he says to the Philistines, out of strength comes forth sweetness. Out of strength comes forth sweetness. And of course, what is it that men have feared? Wherein has the strength of sin been? What is the power that men have dreaded all their lives? But the power of the grave, the power of death. And out of death comes forth sweetness, because the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and he has brought his people into the experience, the sweet experience of that new life which he has given. He says in John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live also. And so here we are with our earthen vessels, but we possess the life of Christ. We possess that resurrection life, that new life. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, or newness of spirit, he also calls it in chapter 7, verse 6. And yet the Lord said to Nicodemus that those who have faith will not perish. But these earthen vessels that we have, these bodies, this flesh, we know that it does perish. We know that the experience of the church down through the years is that these earthen vessels spoil and fracture and crack and break. That's just what happens. And these bodies that we have and the saints have had in days gone by, we read in Hebrews 11 recently, these men and women of faith, they all died. Except for Enoch, he didn't die. But they all died. And when they died, they were still looking forward to the entering into the promise. That's the thrust of Hebrews 11. And we daily experience the frailty of these earthen vessels. I'm looking at you here. I'm looking at you. Every single one of you. We've all got these frailties, haven't we? We come in and we start talking together, and before very long we're telling each other about all the problems that we've got. And that's okay, I'm not knocking that. That's what we do. But it is what we do, because that's the truth. We've all got these problems and we're carrying them around. Even the young men are exhausted. We daily experience the frailty of these bodies, these earthen vessels. How do we reconcile these two things then? How do we reconcile the fact that the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, he that believeth in me shall never perish, and that the Apostle Paul is saying in this very chapter, our outward man does perish? Well, that's the point, isn't it? That he's drawing a distinction here between the outward man and the inward man. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We need to distinguish between the spiritual and the flesh. We need to understand the difference between the body and the soul. time and eternity. This world and the world which is to come. Now, many people won't like to hear this, but the reality is, the truth is, that these bodies of ours have no good in them at all. Earthen vessels. You know what an earthen vessel is? We buy them nowadays from second-hand shops and we put them in the middle of our living room or our kitchen table because we think that they look good. They were packed together with bits of clay in days gone by. They were made with just the dirt and the dust of the ground. Earthen vessels is exactly that. They're made out of dirt. And they're fired in a furnace or in a kiln or something, and nowadays we like them because they look old-fashioned and a bit twee. But earthen vessels is just made of dirt. And that's what we are. That's what the man says at the funeral. He says, dirt to dirt, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, because that's all this is. An earthen vessel. These bodies of ours have two states, dying and dead, and that's it. And there's nothing good in them. There's nothing good that is going to come from our flesh and the pride of our flesh, because we look after it so carefully. We value it so much. We were smiling the other night at the symphony. One of the lads was playing the tuba, and he kept on grooming himself on the stage because he knew everybody was watching him. And we all do it, don't we? We all do it. We take pride in our appearance, and we look after our health, and we eat properly, and we try to make sure that we get a good night's rest, and all of these things are to pamper and care for these bodies. These bits of dirt. These earthen vessels. We protect it, and we prize it. And all the days of our life, the reality is that the body is telling us that it's corrupt and it's sinful and it's worthless. And we know that we are condemned in this body because this is the body that fell in the garden. This is the body that the curse of sin came upon. And we know, because it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. We know that the condemnation of God is on these bodies, and it is relentlessly following through. And it maybe we've got 70 years, or maybe because of our strength a little bit longer, or maybe less. The outward man is perishing, make no mistake about it. It is declining, it is decaying here and now. It's just a matter of time. And no good will ever come of these bodies, because the Lord said, the flesh profiteth nothing. And coffins and graveyards and headstones prove that God is right. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This glorious gospel, this gospel of the glory of Christ, this doctrine of Christ, this message that the Apostle Paul was saying here, that they are carrying forth in all of its clarity, in all of its beauty, in all of its sweetness. What is that message? The message is that after these earthen vessels are laid down and returned to the earth whence they came, there is a life after death. That this is not the end. That this body shall live again. That it will be raised again from the grave. That the lid may be nailed down as tight as it can be, but it will spring again. The clay might be heavy, the years might be innumerable, but live again these bodies will. John 5:28 says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." But these bodies will all be called back together again, and they will all be raised. What is the doing good that is spoken of by the Lord in that verse? Not our good works, not our good deeds, not what men call good, but God calls filthy rags. Doing good in the sight of God, and it's his word that matters. Doing good in the sight of God is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, is trusting God's word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a group of people once said to the Lord Jesus, "What shall we do then? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What might we do to impress God? What might we do to please and satisfy God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Well, I had two things that I wanted to share with you tonight. That's the first one. Second one is connected with this same verse that we were looking at. "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." This new life that we've been speaking of, this new life that we have in Christ, it's a resurrection life that comes to us because Christ is risen from the dead. But it's not an end of life experience. Not for the believer. The believer has entered into that resurrection life right now. We have that new life. That new life is created in us by the power of Christ, by the power of God the Holy Spirit. We call it quickening. "Ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." It's to do with a calling out of life, a calling to life. And it is the bestowing of the life of Christ in his people. It's a here and now experience for the Lord's people. And it's something that the world cannot understand and cannot participate in. It is the product of God's work in the lives of his elect, and it comes to them as his gift because of what Jesus Christ has done for that people who are in the are under the benefits of the decrees and his eternal covenant. The inward man is what is being spoken about. The contrast that Paul is making, the contrast we have before us, is the distinction between the outward man that perisheth and the inward man that is renewed. And note this, this new man is renewed day by day. He's renewed day by day. And that struck me. I thought to myself, that's nice. That is good. He's renewed day by day. He's renewed every day. So every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he's getting renewed. Every day he gets up, he gets renewed. That resurrection life is renewed. And that ought not to surprise us, because resurrection life is eternal life. And eternal life isn't linear. Eternal life doesn't follow the course of time. It is outside of time. And therefore it is new every day. It's ever presently new. And so every time we get up in the morning, we have new life. Every time our days unfold, we have new life, eternal life, resurrection life, being bestowed upon us by Christ. A daily renewal that flows from the Spirit of God to His people. It's not something we're having to wait for. It's the present experience of the Lord's people here and now. So much so that as the body, the vessel that's made of earth and dirt, the earthen vessel, as the body perishes, as it does day by day, getting weaker, getting frailer, as the body perishes day by day, the inward man, the spiritual man, is renewed day by day. So how does that occur? What is the experience of that? What happens in the souls of God's people that allows them to experience a renewal of spiritual life every day? Well, that, I think, is what we're talking about, we're seeing in this passage. The answer is in the Word of God. As the body decays, yours and mine, so the spirit abounds. As the flesh putrefies, so the spirit replenishes. As the natural winds down to the grave, the spirit soars to glory. And what is teaching us these things, but an ever increasing reliance upon the promises of God. That's what it is. That's what we see happening to us in our lives. I'm not talking about sanctification here. I'm not talking about the fact that we're getting holier. I'm not talking about the fact that there's a progression of holiness that we are attaining to as we go through our lives. What I am saying is this: that as we get older, as these bodies begin to fail and the reality of our demise dawns upon us, our spirit is being renewed day by day by the Holy Ghost working in our hearts and in our lives. We faint not, says the apostle. We don't faint. Because the Lord is preserving us every day. Because we are persevering in the faith every day. Because we are getting a renewal every day of those helps, those blessings, those mercies of God. So 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, down to the last verse of that chapter, says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." That means they come to an end. The things that we see as we look around, these bodies, 10, 20, 30 years, I don't know how long it's going to be. But these bodies, we soon won't see them because they're temporal. They're going to come to an end. But that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at things that are eternal. Things that are not seen, the eternal things. And we see these things being revealed in the way God teaches us about Himself. Turn with me to Lamentations. Lamentations in the Old Testament. Isaiah is the big one. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Then Lamentations, you'll find Lamentations. It's just a wee book, but written by Jeremiah the prophet. And look at chapter 3. Verse Lamentations chapter 3. If you want to read the whole of the passage at some stage, I think it'll impress you just the way in which it speaks so clearly about the frailty of the body. But then, halfway through, or in verse 18, that's where I want to start our reading. Verse 18, the writer, the prophet, he gets a glimpse beyond the natural, beyond the temporal, beyond the physical, beyond the earthen vessel. And he realizes that there is a spirituality, an unseen, an eternal thing going on here because of God's love towards his people. And he says, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery and the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. See, that's what happens. That's what happens to the Lord's people. They go through these experiences, and these experiences don't harden them. They humble them. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And those lovely verses. Isn't that lovely? What's happened here is but that the writer, the prophet, has looked beyond the perishing body, and he has seen the faithfulness of the Lord. And he has seen the love of the Lord. He has remembered the mercies of God. And these things are where our daily renewal comes from. These are the mercies that are new every morning to us. It is a remembering of the things that the Lord has said. That's where we get our spiritual energies. There's where that vitality comes from. It is remembering the promises that we have learned from the Lord's hands. And so when we feel the pressures of nature, when we feel the weakness of our frame, when we know something of the earthen vessel that we carry around with us, this flesh, this nature, this body, we remember the promises of God. And we understand that while this body is perishing and must perish, that our souls are being renewed every day because the promises of God are yea and amen to us. What are some of those promises that he's giving us here? Well, the everlasting love of God towards us. That's what the writer of the Lamentations says. He says, his compassions, they fail not. His compassion doesn't fail. Oh, our experience of it might vary and waver. Our view of Christ might be dimmed from time to time. The pressures and the troubles and the problems of our life that come upon us and beset us and distract us. But his love is constant. His compassions, they fail not. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. They are new every morning. The Lord's mercies, great is thy faithfulness. The love of the Lord renews us every morning. And it does us well to remember and to reflect upon the everlasting love of God towards us. And our union with Christ renews us every morning as we think about what we possess in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so united with the Lord Jesus Christ in our souls, in our spirits, that everything that he has, we have. Everything that Christ has, we have. Every blessing he possesses, we possess. We presently possess it. We died in him. We are risen with him. We are ascended on high with him. And says Paul to the Ephesians, we are presently seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's just that this earthen vessel hasn't caught up. This earthen vessel has to go to the dirt. But our souls, our spirits are already seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are heirs and joint heirs together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that God-man, every blessing that God has bestowed upon the Son is also the possession of the bride. We're united to him. That's the great mystery, that Christ in his humanity has united himself with our humanity. And it's these earthen vessels, these bodies, that will rise again. And they will be changed, they will be transformed, and we will be united with Christ, with these bodies, for all eternity. What else have we got to renew our spirit every morning? That the life that we now live is eternal life. It is that life that we have in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What can this world do to you if you have Christ's eternal life in you? If every day that we get out of our beds, every time we begin to engage with this world, that life of Christ, that never dying life of Christ, is what we are and how we subsist in these earthen vessels. These are the blessings that renew us every morning. And fourthly, it is our hope. Our faith, if you like, our trust, our dependence upon the promises of God. For he has declared, the just shall live by faith. And as we have that faith of Christ, that faith that he has given, that faith that focuses on the object Christ, so we live, the just shall live. And we live justified before him in faith that he has granted and gifted to us. We read the verses, let's read them again. Lamentations 3:24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. That's a lovely thing to be able to say. That's a wonderful truth to be able to lay hold upon. The Lord is my portion. That's something to rouse our spirits each day as we begin to experience the fresh mercies of the Lord, his renewal morning by morning, day by day. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Oh, it's so easy for us to run ahead. It's so easy for us to think that we know the answers and we've got the initiative and we can act and we can do things. But We wait on him because he's controlling all these things. We wait on him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Day by day, let us be those who ask, who knock, who seek, who find. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We feel so frail. These earthen vessels look so frail, feeble. But the truth is that our days are in his hand, that there's an appointed time, that nothing can touch us, nothing can harm us, that this providential outworking of the predestinating purpose of God is running its course exactly according to his will and his purpose, and it will come to its conclusion precisely when he deems it appropriate. And that's what we trust in. And every morning, that renews the spirit of the Lord's people as we get up once again and face the trials and difficulties of this world, knowing that it is not the flesh, but the spirit that profits our souls. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us and encourage us day by day in our everyday Christian walk. Amen.